Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is God's Word in the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, in which he writes this: "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now, our epistle readings for the last few weeks have been from 1 Corinthians, in which Paul addresses the divisions in the Greek city, or the congregation of the Greek city of Corinth. You see, as missionary to the Gentiles, Paul had been sent out, and he went to the Greek city of Corinth and founded a congregation. He preached first to the Jews in the synagogue, and then to the Greeks in the marketplace, and to just about anybody, anywhere he could grab hold of somebody. And after founding the congregation at Corinth on the gospel of Jesus Christ, on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and what that means for people, he stopped. And he left, and he went on to another place. And he left behind another pastor, a man named Apollos. As Paul says in last Sunday's epistle reading, he said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." God gave the growth. Paul and Apollos were servants of the congregation, assigned for a time to do the task that was assigned to them by God for the benefit and purpose of God's people there in Corinth. But God did the work. God does the work through His servants in the church. And it's the same for us here at Holy Cross. We might say something like, "Pastor Krampitz planted, and Pastor Stroyfer watered, and Pastor Beck, and Pastor Hartman, and Pastor Enko watered, and Pastor Roselle watered, and this Johnny-come-lately, Pastor Nickel, tried to sprinkle some water, too, on the seeds that were planted by the good pastors before him. But God gave the growth. God gave the growth. For we, us poor pastors, are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." So you say, "Well, Pastor, why did you choose to preach on this text today? Are there divisions in our church at Holy Cross?" Well, I decided to preach on this because this was the text in the lectionary. And we've been talking about Corinthians. And whether there's divisions here or not, we need to hear this text. And pastors need to hear this text. Half this text is focused on the pastors. Well, it's good for you to hear it too. The other half is focused on the congregation. It's good for you to hear that too. It's good for the pastor to hear that too. So here we are together. The main point here is, who's your pastor is the wrong question. It's good for you to like your pastor. I hope you do. You know, the temptation for me is that that's the most important thing to me. I want the people to like me. And I want you to like me, and that's okay. But that's not the most important thing. Christ is the most important thing. The foundation of faith in Jesus Christ, brought to you by the Holy Spirit in God's Word, and in God's sacrament, God's promises of His Word, in His Word, attached to physical things like water and physical things like bread and wine, bringing you what? The forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. That is the foundation of our faith. That is what we are building on here. That is what Pastor Crampett planted. That is what Pastor Stroyfert watered. That's what is being built here by God. And He's using some pastors. And He's using you, too, to build this congregation, to build this faith in each other through God's Word, focused on whom? On Jesus Christ and what He has done for you with His suffering and His death and His resurrection. That's what's being built here. A building. Not a physical building, but a building of faith. Now, I don't know if you've ever done any work in your home. Or maybe you've had some work done for you. I suppose this would be a good time to mention the Hebrew handymen who are offering to help you with some little tasks at home. Well, whenever somebody does some building work or some remodeling work or some repair work at home, there's always a time for testing. Maybe you have a main contractor who's in charge of the whole work, and he hires subcontractors to do the electrical work or the plumbing or the painting. Well, there comes a time for testing. When you turn the handle on the faucet, does the water come out or not? Or does it go all over the place? And if it comes out, if you turn the hot water on, is it hot? Is the cold water cold? Proof is in the pudding, in the test. If you try the electrical work, do sparks come out and fly all over? Or does the light go on the way it's supposed to? And if you've been painting the bathroom for your wife or your husband, and they come in to check the work, or you stand back to check it, does it pass inspection or not? Don't answer that. But there's always an inspection. Paul describes the same thing regarding pastors and the people in the congregation at Corinth and the building work that they had done or were doing. He says, according to the grace of God, like a skilled master builder, I laid the foundation and someone else is building upon it. Just like at our Holy Cross congregation. And it's not just on the pastor to build. It's not just on the pastor to build. What a poor building that would be. One of the reasons I preach on the lectionary is so that you don't only hear what I think, okay? I mean, enough of that comes through as it is. But what is it that they say with a guy who has a hammer? Every problem looks like a nail, right? And you keep hitting the same thing time and time again. So I'm preaching on this. Maybe it's good to hear this. Maybe it's good for the church to hear this at this time. I don't know. The Holy Spirit is the one who knows. But God gives me one tool to use with you. And it's this. God's Word. The truth of God's Word. And sometimes a pastor needs to hit you with the law. And it feels like you're the nail. When you're convicted by God's law, and you heard it in Leviticus today, can you love your enemy? That's hard. It is hard, yes. And sometimes God lays His gospel upon you when you so desperately need a word of forgiveness, to know that you are loved by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who suffered and died for you. To forgive that sin that you have trouble forgiving yourself of. Well, Christ forgave it. You need to know that. That's what you need to hear. That's what we need each other for, to tell us that. That's why we come together, to receive God's words of forgiveness and love and grow by the grace of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, don't you know that you, and here he says you plural, don't you know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you, you plural. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you, all of you, are God's temple. Paul is addressing divisions in the church, and that means people, plural. Divisions only exist where there are multiple people, and there are multiple people in the church. By the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit in baptism, you are saints, sons and daughters of Christ. But we still live in a sinful world, and Satan still tempts us because he wants nothing more than to rip apart the family of God with divisions. So Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. To do what? To do the work of the church. And sometimes the work of the church is to call an erring brother or sister back and say, you've sinned against someone. You've sinned against God. And you don't need to stay there. Don't stay in that sin. Come back to God. Come back to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because He forgives you. He wants to give that forgiveness to you. You need to share that forgiveness with each other. That is what heals divisions. Divisions in the church, divisions in your family, divisions in your world. No one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. As I say to the confirmation students, there will be a test on this. There will be a test on this. If you look at the epistle reading in your bulletin today, it talks about the day of testing. And you'll notice that that word day is capitalized. The day, as in the last day, when everything will be judged and everything will be tested as by fire. And what will last, and everything else will be burned up. Well, I think certainly that day of testing will come then. But testing comes in the life of a congregation, and in the life of a family, and in the life of a person before that too. When your congregation is without a pastor, you are tested. When you change pastors, when whoever comes after me comes, you will be tested. When someone new joins your congregation, you will be tested. Do you welcome them? Or are they a threat to you? A healthy congregation welcomes someone in Jesus' name. when your brother or sister is hurting? Maybe someone in their family is sick, or they're sick. Or maybe someone in their family has died. It's a time of testing. Do you come around them and embrace them in the love of Christ? If so, that's healthy. It's healthy for your faith. And it's healthy for our faith. That's what's being built. In the time of division, when so-and-so is saying this, this is the way it should be here. And you're saying, no, it should be that way. You're being tested. Can you see this person as a child of God, who Jesus died on the cross for? Or do you see him or her as your enemy, against whom I need to prevail? I need to get my way for whatever reason, because it's the right way, of course. Can I see that maybe this person too loves God and wants the best for this congregation, or in your family, for the best of our family, so that our son or daughter or brother or sister learns who Jesus Christ is? So that they can see Jesus Christ in action in our lives. How? Well, let's try forgiveness. How do you forgive your enemy? Look to Jesus Christ. Who was forgiving his enemies as he was being crucified. It's not what one pastor tells you on his own. It's what Jesus Christ did for you and does for you every day. The forgiveness that is upon you every day of your lives. The forgiveness that sometimes we take for granted. Lord, I'm going to do this today, and then I'm going to go to church and ask for forgiveness, and you'll forgive me. Talking about cheap grace. Yes, He will forgive you. He will forgive you. Because He loves you. Because He is the one who is embracing you at that time when you need it. When you're suffering. When you know that it seems like there's no comfort in your life and there's no hope in your life. There is. Only through Jesus Christ. And when your faith is built on that, when our faith is built on that, and when you contribute to each other's faith being built on Jesus Christ, and what He has done for you, you've built something. And when the time of testing comes, and it will come, then you see it. Is that faith that is built on Jesus Christ refined like gold and silver and purified and comes out the other side better and shinier and more beautiful than before? Or is it a precious stone that goes through the fire untouched and can be cleaned up again as bright as new? Or is it built on something else? Something like hay or straw that is burned up in the fire, like that. Or wood that is burned and all that's left is some charred remains of ash. If your faith is built on Jesus Christ, the one who loves you, the one who died for you, the one who rose again to give you eternal life, the one who sits at the right hand of the Father saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The one who forgives you when you were His enemy. If your faith is in Him, that will last through eternity. That will last. And when you have built a congregation, when you have built a Christian church with all other believers around the world, you will see that day the gold and the silver and the precious stones that remain through the fire. That's what you get to see. You get to see the new heavens and the new earth, bright and shiny and incorruptible, without suffering and pain. The glory of the Lord that we sing about, that's what you get to see. That's what you get to participate in. Paul says it this way. For all things are yours. Whether through a Paul or Apollos or Cephas. Or a poor pastor called Jeff Nichol. Or the world, or life, or death, or the present, or the future. All of these are yours because you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. That's who you are. You are defined by Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Live in that this week. Luxuriate in that this week. And build on Jesus Christ, your Lord. In His name, Amen.